Report. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
No, I'll stand my ground. Your proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So yeah, I'm telling you, I look at what's going on, and I think Larry Hanley's idea from the last hour is just a fantastic one. To open up your union halls, open up your churches, open up your, whatever organization you belong to, open up the doors to workers being affected by this shutdown, and just help feed their families, help provide a meal for them. And the thing that gets me is it shouldn't just end here. This is, for all those people who say charity should be doing all of this stuff, we don't need government programs. Here's an opportunity to show that charity can actually work. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the shutdown as we head towards a record-setting day tomorrow, as the longest shutdown in history. I've asked Sam Berger to come talk with us. He's a senior advisor over at the Center for American Progress. Sam, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, I'm looking at this going, I never understood these shutdowns. I think they're stupid. I don't think that it does anything but harm the people who have no control whatsoever in it, but yet here we are.
Yeah, I mean, shutdowns are basically bad for business no matter what business you're in. They're bad for everybody. So there's really no reason to have them, and it's particularly not to have them because, the president's throwing a temper tantrum. He doesn't like his coverage on Fox News.
And really it comes down to a couple of very, very simple things like that. One, because I've said, and maybe you could agree or disagree, I've said this comes down to a couple of things. One, he took a pretty good shellacking in November. And two, the Mueller investigation is, there's a lot of news, there's a lot of stuff coming up where, maybe there was collusion. We saw this week with the Manafort thing. I just think it's everything but this idiotic wall. Because, did you see the stunt at the border?
Oh, you mean when he went down there?
Yeah, when he goes down to the border and he's got piles of drugs around him that they found at the legal ports of entry. They found, tunnels. Under the walls, and I'm going, who does the messaging on this?
Well, the one thing I'll definitely quibble with is I don't think there's a question whether or not there's collusion. There definitely was collusion, and we just keep getting more and more evidence of it. But I do think we learned an important thing, which is that, President Trump can't lose the xenophobic part of his base. He tried to pass this bill, and Coulter got upset, and suddenly he was backpedaling and refusing to move forward. And I think that tells us a lot about where he is politically. He's basically alienated so many people that he can't lose anybody else, regardless of what their views are. And obviously in this case, he's been playing to the xenophobic side of his base since day one. So I think this is just a continuation of that strategy.
Yeah, he's the racist, the white nationalist, the mm-hmm. white supremacist. Sure, that's the base. And I'm not surprised. And look, I everyone was a little upset or on the right. And I've got friends who are, I can't believe that woman said that he's a racist. I think it's about time someone says it.
Yeah, look, just look at what he says and look at what he does.
Right.
This is a person who started by saying, most Mexicans are rapists. This is a guy who said, look, who am I basically to condemn white nationalists for killing somebody? This is really extreme stuff. And it's only because people have such trouble wrapping their heads around the fact that we elected someone with these kinds of views to be president that they try and normalize it or explain it away. Oh, he didn't really mean that. He was just saying there were bad people on both sides. We know what he was saying. And we know every time he's forced to make an apology, as soon as he's back off script, he turns around and says, I didn't mean it.
No.
So we know where his heart is. We know where his beliefs are. Because he's made it clear again and again and again, and his policies back it up. He's ripping children away from families, putting them in cages. We have these two deaths of children, two tragic deaths. He basically said nothing other than to try and blame it on the Democrats as part of his shutdown fight. So, I think that at this point, if you want to argue that he isn't, then make the case. because everything that we've seen is pointing the exact same direction.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I remember the statement after Charlottesville. You know, they're good people on both sides. How come I never hear him say that about the people in Mexico?
Exactly. I mean, but we know why. You know, and we know why he's supporting this wall, which obviously has, you know, no purpose for actual border protection. It's not something that the Republicans actually care about. Otherwise, they would have passed it the last few years.
No,
it's a symbol, and it's a symbol of something really ugly in this country.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I've got listeners who have reached out and said, hey, you know, look, it's only a couple billion dollars. We spend billions of dollars on nonsense all the time. Or at least they believe we spend billions of dollars on nonsense all the time. But just give them the wall. What's the big deal? It'll put some people back to work, you know, and in a couple of years we can tear it down and create some more jobs tearing it down.
Well, I mean, first of all, we shouldn't be building a monument to racism and xenophobia on our southern border. You know, second of all, $1 billion is still a lot of money. We shouldn't be wasting it for no reason. And third of all, the solution when someone takes a hostage isn't to start negotiating, give them everything they want. Because guess what? They're going to take another hostage. And the next hostage is the debt ceiling. Or the next time that there's a funding lapse. You know, this is a president that's getting ever and ever more erratic as the walls are closing in. It's losing support, as you suggested. The Mueller investigation continues to find more and more evidence of his campaign's collusion with Russia. But that's not the only investigation. You have SDNY looking into illegal hush payments that he engaged in during the election. You got his foundation under investigation. Basically, there's nothing that Trump has touched over the last 10 years that isn't currently under investigation for crime. So, you know, this is a desperate man, and he's going to start acting even more desperate. And so to give in now, to just hand it over, guess what? He's going to take more things, and he's going to demand more crazy things. That's not a road that we can go down.
No, I'm with you on that. But, you know, I've also got people saying, look, you know, we got to protect our borders, Sam. We need security. MS-13s around every corner. We've got to protect our borders. And, you know, look, I want to make sure that our borders are secure. I don't want terrorists, you know, waltzing across the country. But, you know, I look at this and I go, you know, these walls just don't seem to work, especially when, you know, I go back to that stunt of him going down to the border and the Homeland Security people having these displays of tunnels that they found under the wall. And it just kind of goes, you know, maybe we should be spending money in different ways other than building giant walls.
Well, and also, if you're concerned about terrorism, drug smuggling, then maybe you should focus your resources on combating terrorism and drug smuggling, not going after women and children from Central America who are showing up claiming asylum. I mean, that's what's so crazy. It's like you said, look, there are all these murders in this town. That's why we got to make sure that every single jaywalker goes to prison tomorrow. You say, well, that's crazy. Why are we filling up our prison with nonviolent offenders? Why are we focusing on, misdemeanors and letting these dangerous criminals escape because we only have a certain amount of resources? And so it's a crazy plan. It's not a plan that reflects any kind of rational approach to border security, rational approach to national security, because it's not about those things.
Right.
And we all know it, and I think we should stop pretending like it's anything but.
Yeah, and as I've been saying all along throughout this entire debacle, while we're focused on this temper tantrum, like I said earlier, when my kids were like 2 or 3 years old, they'd get, you know, candy. And that's all they could think about was candy. I think we've got a president who's like a 2-year-old thinking about candy, and it's only this stupid wall. But while we're fixated on this, we're not talking about any of the, you know, thousands of other problems that we have. We're not talking about how to come to a comprehensive immigration reform plan. We're not talking about infrastructure. We're not talking about health care. We're not talking about an economy that's going to help the working class who's being screwed daily, not just government employees, but all workers, I would argue. We're not talking about any of those things.
Well, that's entirely true. I mean, but let's be honest, we haven't been talking about those things for 2 years, right? So we got to solve this last crisis that the last Congress, the Republican Congress, left over for all of us. And then, you know, Democrats in the House can turn to putting forward, you know, real solutions on things like lowering health care costs, on things like boosting wages, bringing more good-paying jobs here. So, you know, there are real issues, and I think everyone wants to turn to them. But first we have to deal with the crisis, this crisis in the White House. I mean, that's the thing. There's no emergency at the border, but there is an emergency in the White House. An erratic president who's putting the safety and security of millions of Americans at risk so he can get better coverage on Fox News. But the solution here is not to give in. The solution is put pressure on Republicans in the Senate and in the House to rise up, because guess what? They can make a difference. You don't need the president to sign a bill in order for it to become law. We've forgotten that. If you get enough senators and enough members in the House to decide that they care about this country, that they want to make sure that the Secret Service is getting paid, that the FBI is getting paid, that the TSA is getting paid, you know, that our food is being inspected, that small businesses get access to loans, that new homeowners get access to loans. Well, guess what? Just fund the government. Get together. Because you pass another bill, 100-0, then that's it. Problem solved.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is one of those things where people really need to reach out to their member of Congress, reach out to their senator if they're Republicans, and tell them we need to fix this problem.
No, you're absolutely right. And I've been saying all along, it's going to take the Republicans to save this country. And I have very little faith in that happening, which is scary because, you know, I would like to believe that they love their country as much as I do and they're as patriotic as I am. I would love to believe that they want us to be a sovereign nation going forward. I just fear that, well, not.
Yeah, I mean, it's really concerning. Like you said, it's always troubling to be in a situation where you're sort of relying on Republicans to put the interests of the American people before the interests of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Now, he gave his little spiel the other day from the Oval Office, and I thought Anna Navarro had the best response. I want my 9 minutes back. because, you know, I'll tell you, I was expecting him to declare a national emergency right there and then. Were you surprised that he didn't? And two, do you expect him to in the coming days?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the big issue with these, with declaring a national emergency is it's illegal. Now, I'm not suggesting that stopped Donald Trump in the past. I don't know if it'll stop him in the future, but I think it's certainly given pause. But ultimately, it seems like he's going to have to try and claim some sort of win.
Right.
And I think that that's going to be, you know, it could be at least declaring this this emergency and then letting it get tied up in court. But it tells you something that you have a president that would rather start a constitutional crisis that involves having the military seize land on the border rather than simply admit he was wrong and fund the government.
Yeah, but that sounds pretty much who he is. I mean, at the end of the day, it's his way or the highway. That kind of mentality is, I truly believe, how he thinks. And I think that played out when he had Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer in the White House for that couple of seconds where he threw his little fit and, you know, said bye-bye.
Yep. No, I mean, exactly. This is a president that doesn't really care about anything other than himself. He shows it every single day, and we're seeing it play out through the context of the shutdown.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. How do you see this playing out in the coming days? I guess the last line of questioning I've got for you, because ultimately there are 800,000 families tonight who went without a paycheck. There are, you know, children who are going to, you know, and I hate saying this, your children are going to go to bed hungry because we've got this little temper tantrum going on. How do you see this playing out in the coming days?
Well, the thing about shutdowns is that the pain, the damage that they cause, it's not linear, exponential, which means it doesn't just get, you know, 5 days later, it's not going to be just 5 days worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
So I think, you know, we're going to get to a point where Republicans are going to come to their senses and realize that continuing to keep the government shut down, continuing to harm millions and millions of Americans over a Trump temper tantrum just doesn't make any sense and it can't be sustained politically. And that's when we're going to actually see them pass the bill. Probably it looks a lot like the bill they passed in December. It looks a lot like the bill the Democrats offered them, you know, day one of the new Congress. Because everybody knows that's the deal. I mean, that's the thing we have to remember. A deal was already struck. There's no more dealing to be made. That was the bill that got passed through unanimous consent in the Senate. That was the bill that passed the House, earlier in this Congress. So there's a bill that everyone wants to vote for. It's just a matter of Trump being able to save face. And literally, that's the only thing standing between us and the government opening up.
Well, ultimately, I would argue it's Mitch McConnell who won't bring that same bill back to the floor and let the Senate vote on it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I keep having to remind people is, you know, Mitch McConnell isn't furloughed. Mitch McConnell is not shut down. He's not being forced not to do his job. He's choosing not to do it.
That's an excellent point. I have a lot of friends who would like to furlough all of Congress and Trump and the whole rest of them.
Well, I think there are a lot of good members of Congress that are doing their part to try and fight on behalf of working people these days. So I wouldn't want to lump them in. But I do think that it's concerning the Republicans that we're seeing in both the House and Senate who are refusing to do right by the American people.
Yeah. Does this last to the State of the Union, do you think?
I would guess no. I mean, under any normal or even semi-rational president, I would think it wouldn't. but I will say this. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people that get paid a lot of money in the White House to figure out what Trump's going to do on any given day, and they can't do it. So it's a little hard for the rest of us to try and figure
that
out.
That is an excellent point, Sam. I appreciate the time. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thanks so much. You have a good one.
You as well. Sam Berger, senior advisor there at the Center for American Progress. That is an excellent thought. That, you know, there are a lot of people who are paid money to figure out what he does, and they're next to him, and they can't even do it. Wow. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.